are now going to hear a story about the ship called Vasa. Once upon a time, in the year 1628, it was the greatest warship in Europe. Vasa, along with several other ships, was meant to sail across the Baltic Sea to Poland. For a number of years, Sweden's King Gustav Adolf had been fighting with his cousin Sigismund, who was the king of Poland. Both wanted to be king of Sweden, and both of them claimed to have right on his side. Vasa was named for the royal family, and was built at Skeppsgården, which was located right in the middle of Stockholm. Hundreds of people worked there. From big, heavy oak logs, the carpenters cut out thousands of parts needed for the ship. So that Vasa would be stable, they added weight, called ballast, in the very bottom of the ship. This ballast consisted of 120 tons of large, round granite stones. Finally, they mounted the huge masts, 64 heavy bronze cannon, the sails, and kilometres of rope. Hundreds of different wooden sculptures decorated the ship. There were roaring lions, proud warriors, beautiful mermaids, and frightful monsters. All were painted in bold, bright colours, red, yellow, blue, and green. Some of them were even painted with real gold. Though Vasa was a beautiful ship, it was also frightening with its many guns. Along both sides of the ship stood long rows of cannon. Every gunport was adorned with a snarling lion's head carved in wood and painted in yellow and red. The 130 sailors on Vasa climbed to the tops of the masts and worked the sails and ropes. They would also steer the ship and look after it. There was room for 300 soldiers, called knekter in the Swedish of that time, but they were not yet on board Vasa when she sailed. Sailors and soldiers lived together between the cannon on the gun deck. On Vasa there were two gun decks, that is to say, two levels with cannon. It was crowded, and the crew did not wash very often, so it must have smelled pretty bad on board. The close quarters were ideal breeding grounds for lice, which itched worse than mosquito bites. To get rid of these small beasts, special lice combs were used. In the time of Vasa, hospitals and medicines were not as good as those we have today, and the people on board easily became ill and infected each other. Sailors kept their belongings in chests, barrels and cloth bags. Their clothes were made of thick woolen fabric, which was probably a pretty good idea, since it could be both cold and windy out on the open sea. The crew were divided into groups of 7 or 8 men, who all ate together out of one wooden bowl, and they slept together on the hard deck. The food was cooked in a big pot in the ship's kitchen, which was called the galley. The ship's food barrels contained salted fish, meat, bread, and peas with which to make pea soup. When they were off watch, that is, when the sailors were free, they played games and perhaps caught fish. They could also use the time to mend their clothes and shoes. The officers were the ones who made the decisions on Vasa. They had a room entirely of their own, which was called the Great Cabin. The Great Cabin was decorated with sculptures and had fold-out beds built into the sides, as well as tables and chairs for eating. The officers also ate on fine plates and trays, which were made of pewter and ceramic. Their clothing was sewn from expensive fabrics, and at least one of them wore a gold ring. No sailor or soldier would ever be able to afford anything that luxurious. But Vasa never made it to Poland, and the crew on board never got to eat pea soup, play games, or comb away lice. Instead, the ship's first journey, its maiden voyage, ended in catastrophe. Of course, no one could have imagined this on that sunny afternoon, the 10th of August 1628, when Vasa set sail from Stockholm. In the city, all along the docks, many people had gathered to see the ship sail away. Rarely had the people of Stockholm seen such an immense and beautiful ship. From Vasa's open gunports, a thundering salute was fired. Along with the crew, there were also women and children on board the ship. They were the families and guests of those who were going to work on Vasa, and they were just going to accompany the men a short distance on the ship's maiden voyage, not all the way down to Poland. When the ship had sailed a little way, the wind suddenly took hold of the sails. Vasa leaned slightly to one side, but managed to right itself again. Suddenly there came another burst of wind, and this time things did not turn out as well. Vasa started to lean more and more, and water began pouring in through the open gunports, which had now come under the surface of the water. Catastrophe was simply unavoidable. Water was quickly rushing into the ship, which began to sink, right before the very eyes of all the people who had gathered. The people on board tried to save themselves as quickly as they could. From the inside of the ship, they crawled out, up ladders and through hatches. The people on the upper deck clung to the rigging of the masts. Smaller boats, which were close by, tried to save as many people as possible. Nearly everybody on board was fortunate and survived, but there were also some who drowned, following Vasa down into the depths. Immediately after the accident, it was decided to try to raise Vasa, but this was not possible because the ship was stuck fast in the clay of the harbour bottom. However, divers in a diving bell managed to bring up nearly all the cannon. This was a highly dangerous job, going down into the cold, dark water. But the cannon were valuable, and the person who salvaged them could become very rich. Vasa remained on the bottom of the ocean for several hundred years. Almost all of the paint on the ship disappeared, and Vasa's wood became darker. The sculptures fell off and sank down into the mud on the ocean's floor. Over 300 years later, it was decided to raise the ship, and it went better this time than in the 17th century, so that in the year 1961, Vasa returned to the surface. When Vasa had been brought up on land, all the loose pieces were put back together again, and a museum was built. Everything that had been loaded aboard Vasa when the ship sank was still there. There were sailors' clothes, coins, cannonballs, and lots of other things. Inside the ship, the skeletons of some of the people who drowned when Vasa went down were also found. These days, you can see all these things at the Vasa Museum in Stockholm. But why did this happen to Vasa, and whose fault was it that the ship sank? People were already asking themselves this question in the 17th century, but as far as we know, no one was ever found guilty and punished. We now know that Vasa was not stable. The ship was a little too tall and had too much weight above the water. This is why it could not hold its balance very well. It probably would have been better if they'd put a little more ballast in the bottom of the ship. If they had also closed the gun ports in time, the water would not have been able to rush in. In that case, maybe Vasa's voyage would have continued all the way down to Poland. But that would have been an entirely different story.